In the holy name of Jesus. Part of being a broken person is knowing what it's like to be sick. Some of us have been sicker than others, but no matter how sick you've been, you know that sickness can do some of the worst things to us. And if you're a big baby like I am, then even something as little as a head cold can send you to a dark place. But even if you're not a big baby, you know that sickness can send even the strongest of us to our knees, or relegate us to wheelchairs or hospital beds. Sickness has pain, but that's not all there is to it. There's mental anguish, there's the why me of it. There's spiritual isolation. Nobody knows what I'm going through. There's also social exclusion to some degree. You have to stay away from people. You can't keep doing what you've been doing. You can't keep going to school. You can't keep going to work. You can't keep taking care of your family. You can hardly take care of yourself. All of these things create distance between us and others, and maybe even between us and God. In sickness, we come face to face with just how vulnerable, how fragile, how very much alone we are. And so, when we're sick, it only makes sense that all we want to do is get back to normal. The 10 lepers in our text for today are a case study in this very truth of human existence. Leprosy. It was a disease that was somewhat common in Jesus' day. You might call lepers the walking dead. Their face, their complexion was ashen, their skin was white, kind of like a corpse. Their flesh was continuously falling off of their body, and their breath emitted the stench of a decaying carcass. And so even though these people were living and breathing, to the rest of the world, to everybody else, they were just as unclean, as unworthy of being in society, as if they had actually been a corpse. For them, the pain was just a part of it. The knowledge of a slow death was just a part of it. They had mental anguish. Spiritual isolation, they had it in spades. And if anyone had social exclusion, it was them. They literally had to stay away from society altogether. These guys were living lives that were anything but normal. They lost everything because they were sick and they were contagious. They were the walking dead. They were dead to the world, living lives of desperation, hopelessness, and helplessness. And so, it makes sense that when they saw Jesus on the road, that they cry out to him, right? I mean, here, 10 dead men walking meet a guy who's walking on his way to die, and it seems like Jesus is one of them. I guess he is in a way. But then in another way, he's not, at least as far as they can tell. They've heard of this guy. He's a healer, right? And they desperately want to get better. They want to get healed so that they can go back to their families, back to their work, back to society, back to normal. And so they cry out to Jesus, not unclean, unclean, or stay away from us. We're lepers. You don't want this. But they cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They call him Master because they're hoping for something more. They're hoping for something more than bandages that'll make the dying a little bit more comfortable. They're hoping for someone who can get them back to normal. And for 9 of them, Jesus does just that. He says, go, present yourselves to the priests. Go to the temple. Do the sacrifices. Do the purification rites that will make you clean. And they go, trusting, and on their way, they're healed. The leprosy disappears. Jesus saves them from the certain death of leprosy, and he gives them everything back. He gives them their families back, back to work, back to society, back to normal. What a shame. Because Jesus comes to bring so much more than normal. The problem with getting back to normal, guys, is that the normalcy is way more overrated than everybody says it is. The problem with normal life is that all it does is delay our dying. Normal life is terminal. Don't you guys know that? When you go through normal life long enough, normal life will kill you. Every single leper that Jesus ever healed went on to die. Even the people that Jesus raised from the dead died again. So I guess the question we have to ask ourselves is, who is Jesus? Is he just someone who comes to make the dying of normal life a little more bearable? Or does he come with something more? Does he come with new life? Does he come with better life? What is he to you? We may not be lepers, but we have things in our lives that threaten the good of normal, right? We've got suffering. We've got mental struggles. What'd I say? Mental suffering. We've got spiritual isolation, and we've got social exclusion. And maybe for you, that's sickness, like we talked about earlier, or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's financial hard times. Maybe it's a family relationship that's not working out. Maybe it's broken relationships. Or perhaps it's a work or school situation that makes your life a living hell. What is it for you? You know what it is. When we face these things, we come to grips with just how fragile, just how vulnerable and alone we are. And in these moments, we just want to get back to normal. And so when we see Jesus, or when we think about Jesus as we're walking this metaphorical road, this border between life and death, we can't help but cry out to him as our master, asking for him to have mercy on us. We say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, fix this, because I can't do it on my own. And what if he does? Then what? Where do you go from there? Onward and forward through the rest of your normal life? You know how that ends, right? Normal life is terminal. Go through normal life long enough, and it'll kill you. I don't say this to minimize your suffering, to minimize your isolation. I don't say this to say, shame on you for asking Jesus for mercy. No, Jesus does care about even these things. But I'm trying to give you some perspective. Who is Jesus? I'll tell you, he's not just someone who comes to give you bandages. He's not someone whose purpose on this earth was to get you back to normal. He came for more than that. The cure. It never really made much sense for the Samaritan leper. I mean, what was it going to do for him? He was still a Samaritan. He was still a guy on the outside. Jesus said, go to the temple. Go make the sacrifices. Go make the offering. But he couldn't even walk through the door. They wouldn't let him in. You see, he was an outsider. And so, leprosy or not, everyone had decided that he wasn't fit to be in society. And so, he goes back to the one who healed him in the first place. And I don't know, maybe he thought, this guy has healing powers. Maybe he has something more that he can give to me. Or maybe he simply had nowhere else to go. Regardless, he finds himself in the only place where true life can be found, where extraordinary new life can be found, right at the feet of Jesus. And so Jesus says to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you. And on that day, the Samaritan didn't just receive healing, but in a sense, that was resurrection for him. It was a trading of the normal life that certainly ends in death for him, for the new life that Jesus brings. That day, he didn't just find a healer, but he found a savior from death itself. And that's what Jesus is for you, too. Will you have eyes like the Samaritan to see it? think it's funny that this Samaritan guy, poor guy, had nothing, had nowhere to go, that he was the one who ended up in the place where life could be found. Maybe in a way, this is what faith is. Realizing that there is nowhere else for us to go. That the gifts that God has given to us in this normal life that make it more bearable can't actually end a normal life in and of themselves, but that we need someone else, someone who can give us new life, and that someone is Jesus. What if Jesus never healed the Samaritan? What if the only thing that Jesus ever said to that Samaritan was, "Son, I forgive you all of your sins. With me, you can have new life. With me, even if you die, yet you will live. Now come, watch me die for you." Would that have been enough? Would he have had the eyes of faith to see that he still had nowhere else to go except to fall at the feet of Jesus and worship him? Think so. What about you? What if Jesus only ever says to you, "Son or daughter, I forgive you all of your sins. With me, you can have new life. I died so that you could live eternally." What if that's it? Would it be enough? Would you see that this is the best gift that Jesus has to offer you? Would you be able to see that you still have nowhere else to go except to fall at Jesus' feet and into his arms and thank and praise him? Would it be enough? Tomorrow we celebrate Thanksgiving. And we'll be thanking God for many things. And if you're anything like me, you'll probably be thanking him for the things that he gives you above and beyond life, salvation, forgiveness, the normal things that make life a little more bearable, maybe even enjoyable. You'll thank God for the food on the table, for the family around you. You'll thank him for the roof over your head, for the needs that he's provided for the wants that he's given you, and it'll be good. It will. But the only thing I caution you about is not to let these things, good though they are, obscure the greatest thing that is the new life that Jesus has to give to you. Don't settle for bandages and band-aids when we have the cure for normal, terminal life right here, because in this place we have Jesus. We celebrate Thanksgiving tomorrow, and it's an ordinary feast. It's a feast that celebrates normal life. But what we have here today, we've got Holy Communion. And if you're okay with being just maybe a little bit Catholic right now, it's okay, don't worry. Maybe we call it Holy Eucharist, which, as we all know, translates to Thanksgiving. We've got Holy Thanksgiving right here, which is an extraordinary feast that celebrates new life, a feast in which Jesus comes to us and he plays the role of host and guest. He comes into our house, he serves us a meal saying, "Take, eat, take, drink, my body and blood for your forgiveness, for your new life." This is the medicine of immortality here, guys, and this is why we only celebrate Thanksgiving once a year, but we celebrate Holy Thanksgiving as often as we can. If you can see through the end of normal, terminal life, if you can see its end, if you can see how fragile, vulnerable, and how very much alone you are, and if you can see that you don't have anywhere else to go, but that you want to get better, but not back to normal, then come to the table of the Lord. Receive the gifts of new life that he has to offer you here. new life that was purchased and won for you by a man who met you while you were dying, by a man who died in your place so that you could live. No matter how normal life is going for you, come to the table. There's plenty of new life to go around. Amen.